Good morning, all. It's now 11 a.m. Eastern Time on here Wednesday, August the 1st. My name is Chris Rutkowski. I have the happy task of moderating the spiritual outreach calls for the Order of Malta. And I have the distinct pleasure this morning of introducing to you our speaker for the month, Father Alfredo Hernandez. Father Hernandez is a priest of the Diocese of Palm Beach, and he has been since his ordination 26 years ago. He's a very educated man. Looking at his resume, studying both at the University of Florida, as well as doing his graduate studies at the University of Florida, seminary work at the St. Vincent de Paul Seminary in Boynton Beach, Florida, did his post-seminary work at the Pontifical Gregorian University in Rome, and his doctoral studies at the Grenda School of Theology in London, England. He's currently academic dean at St. Vincent de Paul Regional Seminary in Boynton Beach, and he served 14 years as pastor of St. Juliana Parish in West Palm Beach. And last November, he was initiated as a deputy chaplain for the American Association, assisting in the Palm Beach area. He is very much looking forward to being part of the work of the order, but as he tells me, he's still getting his feet wet. And
I am indeed.
A personal tidbit that he passed along is that the ambassador, Oscar de Rojas, the order's permanent observer to the United Nations, is Father Alfredo's first cousin. So we have a very distinguished and well-connected speaker today who will speak to us about what the Assumption of Mary means for all of us. So with that, Father Alfredo.
Well, Chris, it is great to be here with you today, and thanks for that welcome. I am certainly, I'm always about truth in advertising. I am wrapping up, actually as we speak, I'm wrapping up my doctoral studies. Hopefully I'll get those wrapped up pretty soon. And it's great to be here at, be here with you from the seminary, in Boynton Beach where it is a great joy to work in seminary formation. Why don't we, begin, since we're talking about the Blessed Mother, if it's okay, I'd like to begin by praying the Hail Mary with all of you. We pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so the topic is, what does the Assumption mean to us? Now remember, when I served 14 years as pastor of my home parish in West Palm Beach, St. Juliana. And I remember when I was there, there was a family who had moved down to Florida from Michigan. And the dad could never get over the fact that school in Florida started before Labor Day. He just didn't think that made any sense. And I think that was actually part of the reason why they ended up moving back to Michigan. In fact, this year in my county, in Palm Beach County, school starts on August 13th. That might sound crazy to you, but it does indeed. And there's a connection with the beginning of school, at least in my mind as Floridian, between the beginning of school and the Assumption. The start of school offers teachers, students, and their families an opportunity to set goals for the coming year. And the truth is, if we hope to make it to a destination, we need to know where we are going. In the old days, you needed maps. Now we need GPS. But whichever we're using, we need to have a destination point, or else we're not going to get there. What's true for school children is true for college and graduate students, too. As academic dean at the seminary, we set appropriate learning outcomes for every class. We have learning outcomes for our whole program. When we celebrate the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary this year, it falls on Wednesday, August 15th, we experience something similar. This liturgical feast gives us an opportunity to reflect on what our destiny is as Christians, on where we're headed, and thus be able to make plans for getting there. Mother Jesus offers us the model of Christian life, and therefore she helps us to keep our eyes on where we're headed, keep our eyes set in the prize, how it is that we make it to heaven. In the Magnificat, that beautiful canticle of Mary, Luke 1, 46 to 55, hymn of Mary at the Visitation, Mary praises God for the wonders he has worked in her. In that canticle of Mary, we read, all generations will call me blessed, because he who is holy has done great things. All generations will call me blessed. That blessedness that Mary herself claimed, because she's been told by the Archangel Gabriel, that, and also by her cousin Elizabeth, that it is God's gift to her. It is that same, that's the very same blessedness that we believe is fulfilled for her at the end of her life, at the end of her earthly life, when she is taken to heaven body and soul. What do we as Catholics believe about the Assumption? In the letter, the Apostolic Constitution, with which Pope Pius XII, back in 1950, solemnly defined this dogma, he wrote, and I'm quoting Pius XII now, the Immaculate Mother of God, the ever-Virgin Mary, having completed the course of her earthly life, was assumed body and soul into heavenly glory. In a parenthesis here, Pope Pius XII didn't say whether or not Mary died. That's an interesting point. He says at the end of her earthly life. And the reason why he said that is that most theologians say that Mary died as we do, as Jesus, her son, did. But it isn't not all theologians agree. But most theologians say that she died and then was assumed, was taken into heaven, as Pope Pius XII said, body and soul into heavenly glory. An argument that's frequently made against this doctrine, and in fact against much of our Marian devotion, some people say that we're letting Mary take the place of Jesus. But the Catechism of the Catholic Church touches on this issue in paragraph 966 in a very clear way. The Assumption of the Blessed Virgin is a singular participation in her son's resurrection and an anticipation of the resurrection of other Christians. The two very important points there. The Assumption is a unique way of sharing in Jesus' resurrection, and it's also a way of looking forward to our resurrection, to what's happening for us. St. Paul in the first letter to Corinthians 15:20 writes, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. First fruits. That's what Jesus is, and we see Mary as sharing in that. Common faith of all Christians proclaims that the reason for being, the raison d'etre, as we say, of the death and the resurrection of Jesus, is that all who believe in him may share his resurrection. Since Our Lady is the one who has been always faithful to God's will, the one who always believed, as Elizabeth herself said, all that the Lord had promised, she received the gift of being preserved from the corruption of the body. She was given the gift of sharing fully in the destiny of her son. That's what we believe about the Assumption. Mary already participates fully in the glory of her divine son, since she has also shared fully by her yes, by her perfect yes, in his life and his passion. When we think about the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we are helped to focus, as I said at the beginning, on our goal, on what our destiny is, and what our destination is. We don't think too much nowadays about the meaning of another expression of the Christian faith, the resurrection of the body. In the best of cases, we think about the life of heaven as being the perfect joy in the presence of God, but a joy that we think about as being connected only to the soul. We tend to imagine only the spiritual aspect, perhaps thinking about it as some kind of surreal dream. However, what we believe about the end of time is that Jesus will return in glory in his risen and glorified body. and that our bodies will be resurrected and will be reunited with our souls. Remember that in heaven there is no time, so it's not a matter of we're thinking about heaven as we're waiting, twiddling our thumbs until our bodies rejoin our souls at the end of time. But what we know is that the final goal for those who have been saved by Jesus will be to live in a new creation. We also believe that we will have perfect and glorified bodies like Jesus's. But the assumption that Mary confirms is that this really is God's plan for us. This is what God wants for us. This is our goal. Mary gives us hope that even if we don't yet see the results, the fate of those who remain faithful to her son is to share fully in his resurrection. And so the church, when she honors Mary, she's always recognizing what all of us are called as Christians to do. Participate in the work of Jesus since we are members of his body, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Ephesians chapter 5, we have that language of the body of Christ. Our language honoring Mary can sometimes seem excessive, but when we honor Mary's role as co-redeemer, as sharing in the redemptive work of her son, the church is always speaking about what our mission is as Catholic Christians, what our dignity is as human beings and as Christians. By helping us to see our own dignity from the beginning of our lives, when we celebrate the Immaculate Conception, and at the end of our lives, its fulfillment, when we celebrate the Assumption, the Virgin Mary also helps us to see the dignity of others. And that's just so important that we aren't forgetting what we're doing in this life. The journey matters. The Assumption helps us to live our journey well, honoring each and every human person, precisely as we honor Mary. The last time he celebrated the Assumption on earth, St. John Paul II went to Lourdes to celebrate the 150th anniversary, the definition of that other Marian dogma, the Immaculate Conception. At Lourdes, that place which is so important in the spirituality and the practical charity of the Order of Malta, St. John Paul II helped us to see the dignity of patience, including himself, who was so sick already. In a world of places that values both virility and youth, or at least the appearance of those, Lourdes is a place where the weak person is valued above all. Thousands of people go to Lourdes seeking to be healed of physical weakness. However, if we consider what happened for that saintly and ill Pope on his last visit to Lourdes 14 years ago, what happens when so many of our order travel with the Malades to Lourdes, we can see that the most important thing that happens is that the dignity of each person is affirmed. In the end, this brings us back to the meaning of the Immaculate Conception, as well as the meaning of the Assumption. By showing us how much each of us is worth to God and at the beginning of our lives and at the end of our lives, with Mary as the exemplar, we are shown as well the awesome dignity of each person on the way with us. At a time when to use an expression of Pope Francis, people are so often seen as disposable, Mary shows us the lie behind that perspective. And thus, knowing where we're headed, we are given aids in reaching that goal. Mary's life not only shows us the destination, it also shows us the map of how to get there. She sang the Magnificat in response to Elizabeth's joy in welcoming her and the child she carried. Mary's joy is explained by the presence of the Savior in her womb. Elizabeth also knew that being the mother of Jesus would mean that the life of Mary would be full of blessing throughout. Blessed are you who believe that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. The Christian life, which paves the way for the new creation, in which we will definitely share the resurrection of Jesus, is all about saying yes to the will of God, trust in his promises, and to always obey his will. When we celebrate with joy the holy solemnity of the Assumption this year, remembering that it is a holy day of obligation, let us rejoice with Mary in the victory of her son, in which she already shares fully, and let us commit ourselves to live our own lives the total yes to God. Thus, we will be preparing ourselves to share in the resurrection of her son. Mary, you praise God eternally for the gifts he has given you. We call you blessed as you foretold that we would. Help us to give thanks to God as you do for our own dignity and for the destiny we share with you, the destiny of the resurrection of the body, of life with your son in the new creation. And along our journey, let us also see, help us see, and help us to honor the dignity of every human being, of each of our brothers and sisters. Amen.
Amen.
So Chris, it's been a joy to be with you and to be with all of our brothers and sisters in the order this day.
Well, thank you, Father Alfredo. That was a lot to take in, team. I would encourage you, of course, to have any friends or relatives that weren't able to make the call to dial into the website. I think I will dial in again just to hear Father Alfredo's talk once more. There was so much to ponder. Thank you again, Father Alfredo. Again, I encourage us to listen to the website recording, and also please encourage friends, family, to participate in our next call, which will be on September 5th, where Father Paul Hartman will discuss the blessing of labor. But this call was particularly moving. Father Alfredo, thank you. The best.
Well, Chris, it is a joy, and if you want, we can close with a blessing.
The Lord be with you. And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you all.
Okay, Chris. Goodbye.